Thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, May 10th, 2020. At Emmanuel Lutheran Church, we welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. In this time of social isolation, you can join our online Zoom services every Sunday morning from your computer or your smart device at 10:30 a.m. Find the link to our service at emmanuelevanston.org/events. And now here's this week's sermon from our interim pastor, Kim Beckman.
So, grace to you and peace from God and from our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Last week, I received an invitation to join Evanston clergy in a Zoom. I had a mission for this meeting. I wanted to see what was going on with your Evanston social ministries. Who was still doing something out there? In cottage meetings that have come from all of your homes, I heard mostly a happy surprise about the way that the Spirit was opening doors to community for your congregation, finding over Zoom a truer worship and gathering that you could have ever imagined before this that cyberspace could provide, experiencing a face-facing kind of one anothering, the pastor's view rather than the back of the head's view from the pews. Hollywood squares of a kind of worship in the round, in living squares from your living rooms. But I had also heard in these conversations a sadness and an anguish over community members that I hadn't had a chance to meet, extended family in the Emmanuel God with us community, your neighbors served in the warming center, and grief over the pandemic suspension of Cafe Emmanuel. And not just the food, but the relationships built and strengthened over that feast, over, as our choir proclaimed in meditation on our gospel, such a light as shows a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. I'd hope that this group of Evanston clergy would be able to point me in some directions for where your neighbors, an extended part of our household, are being cared for and how they are faring in these days of COVID. How could ministry of mercy find new life, a new way in truth in a time of social distancing? How could the racial disparities coming to light that we anguished over be addressed in a day to come? I explained to the clergy that I had only journeyed with you for just over a week, and I hadn't stepped foot in Evanston, nor had even seen your sanctuary. And one of them said, "Oh, Emmanuel, isn't that the church by the Holiday Inn?" But of course, I did not have a clue. The Emmanuel that I was coming to know wasn't limited to a corner or a block that may or may not have been anywhere near a Holiday Inn. And I had to explain that to them again. I've never been there. Where Emmanuel's bricks lay is not the identifier that I hold for your household of faith. What I found out from them, though, is that your neighbors that you are concerned for may in fact be housed in that Holiday Inn, or at least some hotel rooms somewhere. In this time when hotels are otherwise empty, in mercy, receiving a place where they can wash hands, social distance with a room to themselves, and receive their meals. The Connections to Home group is shifting ministries towards strategic conversations about what happens next, as weather warms, hotel rooms fill, the crisis plateaus, and our neighbors lose dignified housing again. Could this crisis propel the community into more transformative care toward shelter and sufficiency, they wonder. I wondered how the passion I heard for your neighbors as part of your identity might be reconceived, life and health coming even out of this disruption. I got other breadcrumb trails. The Interfaith Group still hosts the Welcome Center with service opportunities for those who are not in high-risk groups to volunteer. And I was invited by Lutheran colleagues in the Interfaith Group to the Poor People's Campaign, carrying out transformative work of racial economic justice in the Martin Luther King tradition. They are rebooting right now, and they are actually expanding the community with wired gatherings from all over the country, doing the spade work of planning new infrastructures for a new day with a digital march set for June 20th that you may hear more about. This passion for life, abundant for our neighbors, can't be stopped, but only refashioned and transformed by COVID-19. This passion responds to Jesus' invitation to his way, truth, and life to abide in and make our dwelling place, even when our physical spaces have changed. Such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. So I was excited when I saw today's readings from the early church, the early church that also had to figure out all new ways of doing things. They had to translate the life of itinerant discipleship that they had when Jesus was with them into more of an established structure of mercy and service for their neighbors. So they had to kind of go the opposite direction. But Acts gives us the story of Stephen, first deacon and martyr for the faith. He had been selected in that ministry of mercy to serve at table because the apostles felt that their ministry needed to be about guiding doctrine and preaching, while the inequitable distribution of goods in common for the least had to be addressed even millennia ago. They realized they needed a bigger boat. Today, we get the sad outcome of Stephen's work, reminiscent of Jesus' crucifixion. Something his death was related to his venturing, not just to put on an apron and distribute food, as was supposed to be his job, but to also preach the word. Powerfully, it turned out, though his calling was not an apostle, whose job had now been bricked into the preaching. When Stephen preached, the truth came out from his hands-on work with the people, the little people. And this truth made powerful people angry, became a stumbling block, because it came from the same place that Jesus' truth had come, the cornerstone truth of God's loving will for abundance for all God's people, which God, from the foundations of the whole world, created with the desire that humanity be drawn to God's love and to God's and to love for one another. St. Stephen's Day is celebrated the day after Christmas, Boxing Day, you may recall, the day when the gift of Jesus among us is distributed in a feast for the poor. Stephen is remembered in the 3 days right after Christmas that celebrate Companions of Christ, foreshadowing the cross-shaped life speaking to the truth of death and resurrection. So today, as an ordained pastor, I get a bit of a word, but all the baptized, all of you are called to the ministry of the word and the sharing of good news and word and deed, made in your baptisms God's people, a royal priesthood of all believers. So the choir gets to preach on the gospel today as well, to proclaim the gospel as such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joys in love. Your diaconate among you also has a word today to offer. Kit McCarthy has come within just a few weeks of completing her 2-year program of diaconia to explore discipleship and service to Jesus, both within your household and wherever she, like you, may be called in the church at large, let loose in a world God loves. So today, near her graduation, she gifts us with reflections on the work of all of us being living stones in diaconia, serving neighbor in word and life, in love and care. Kit.
Hi. I have been a searcher all my life, longing to grow closer to God. About 2 years ago, I learned about the diaconia program offered by the ELCA. As I was approaching the end of my work life as a social worker, this seemed an excellent opportunity to learn more about the Lutheran Church, to engage with a broader Lutheran community, to continue to grow closer to God, and to discern what it is that God is next calling me to, particularly as I anticipate having more free time. I learned in my very first class, Practical Ministry, that diaconia is one of four biblical images of Christian community, along with koinonia, which is fellowship, liturgia, which is worship, and kerygma, which is witness. Diaconia means service. As we learn from the story of Stephen, the disciples identified those who were of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, to be appointed with tasks such as distributing food to the hungry. Service comes in many forms, and I have come to appreciate these different types of service during my studies. In these last 2 years, service for me has actually been the studies I am doing in diaconia. Learning about the church, ministry, prayer, and spiritual gifts has stretched me. At times it has been challenging, but always has been enriching. In addition to written work, there has been service to others and creative projects. One of the earliest assignments was finding your spiritual gifts. While I felt quite confident that musical artistry or vocal artistry and other music, instrumental music, would not be my primary gifts, I was surprised at what did emerge. And the fact is, I will do the inventory again at the end of my studies next month. The answers may be the same, but I want to leave space for the possibility that these 2 years may have brought new gifts to the forefront. I sincerely hope that God has found me to be of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and will continue to bless me with the opportunity to serve God and my community in the ways that God sees fit.
Thanks, Kit. Paul, who was called Saul in our reading today, was transformed by Stephen, deacons, clarity and fidelity in the cross-shaped life. Saul's job in the rabble was stirring up trouble was holding the coats of the people who were throwing the stones. But something in Stephen's life started stirring Saul, and when on the Damascus Road he was literally blinded by the resurrected glory of Jesus, his life too was transformed and reshaped as a living stone. At the graveside, where we will gather as soon as possible with our sibling Doris, who lived out her calling as a mother, as a spouse, faithful follower of Jesus at Emmanuel, we will use the Apostle Paul's words that in our Easter life we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. But we are transformed even now. Last week I produced my first newsletter page for you and provided a root of the stump of Jesse tree graphic, praying with you, may we grow back not to what was, but instead towards what we can become. When I wondered how that would fit into your usual template for the newsletter, Jane directed me to the website and she pointed out the stained glass window that is the usual graphic there. She said that you were known for your stained glass windows. Well, I would not know that. And I do look forward to the time that I can see it for myself. And I want to say here that I profoundly empathize with the grief that you are feeling in an exile from the life that has formed you, in a sanctuary that, even having not seen it, I can be sure is full of light and grace and mercy and beauty, and I hope truth. Though I ever haven't ever seen the light through the stained glass windows that you are known for, I have seen the light of God shining through each one of you, living stones. I've seen your identity not dependent on these enclosing walls, but as the church at large, the priesthood of all believers, the identity of a community eager and thirsty to gather in whatever ways, like babes looking to your mothers for spiritual milk, showing up to Jesus' Easter transformation for each other in the Word, a community of mercy and faith looking outside itself and its walls to find new ways to address the inhumanity sin brings to bear and to be transformed in diaconia, following Jesus through cross to new life, to what you will become, toward a time of restoration that after our exile may not return us to the temple and city we remembered, but into the light and hope and love of Jesus, who remains our chief cornerstone. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And again, we welcome you to join our weekly online services each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Go to emmanuelevanston.org/events. And thanks for listening.